This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. Now, you might like to call this chapter the victory song. It's the overcomer song. Now, last time in chapter 14, we learned who the 144,000 are. It's not a literal number, but it means the whole of God's people, all 12 tribes. And we learned that when the 144,000 hear the 7,000, Romans 11, elect, delivered up to Antichrist, when he hears the Holy Spirit speak through us what the Holy Spirit will, that 144,000, which is the mainstream Christian church, will realize they have worshipped the Antichrist because they believe the lie fly proverb and flew into the wrong Savior's hands. Before they turn into their spiritual bodies, which we will all do when Jesus comes, they repent and they run away from Satan, and they are saved, yet so as by fire. And we remember that we had a cross-reference, Ezekiel 44, in the millennium. Those same preachers, pastors, teachers, Christians are going to be sort of demoted. They're called the priest who went astray, but they will be saved. So keep that in mind. Now, in this particular song, when this chapter 15 comes to pass, the seventh trump will have sounded. Remember, Jesus gave us seven trumps. A trump is a lights, camera, action. In other words, the sixth trumpet is the Antichrist. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. That's why God's got me teaching you, so you will learn, so you'll not be deceived. He loves you. At the sixth trump, the Antichrist will come. He is the devil with his Jesus costume on. He is the dragon pretending to be the lamb. The dragon is the devil. The lamb is Jesus. There's your proof. And his time has been shortened for the elect's sake. At the seventh trump, Jesus will have come. Now, Jesus gives us command here in Revelation 15 that you, Christian, are commanded to learn two songs. This is a not if you don't mind, if you have time, if you just like to get some extra brownie points. This is a command. And so, I get to put on my second hat and be your music teacher. Revelation 15, verse 1.
Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues.
Now these plagues are in a vial, V-I-A-L, which means a bowl. We know that we have seven sealed signs of the end, seven trumps, and we have seven vials. Now, the angels are getting these ready because when Jesus comes, he's going to come back and pour out those seven vials on everybody on planet Earth who has worshipped the Antichrist. That will be also people who say, I am Christian, but have been deceived by the Antichrist, the instead of Christ.
For in them is filled up the wrath of God.
That's the cup of wrath about which Jesus prayed in the garden. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was not trying to get out of the crucifixion. He came to pay the sin debt, which is death. But he knew that once he died, paid the sin debt, shed his blood, arose, and came again, that then all the world would be worshiping the Antichrist except a few small stunted sheep, as Amos says, and he would have to pour this cup out. And our compassionate Lord has a big heart and didn't want to have to do that.
Verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire.
All right, this is symbology. Revelation 17 says the watchers are the people. So the sea would be people, all right? the glass is purity. This is a group of people who are pure, who are virginal, who have not even at a moment bowed the knee to Antichrist. Of course, that would be the very elect. What does it mean, mingled with fire? Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. The Bible tells us that when Jesus comes right here on planet Earth, not up in the air, that only that a little group of elect called 7,000, it's just a spiritual number, they have the truth perfected in their minds, only they can gather around Jesus. Only they can mingle with him. So now we see at the seventh trump, Jesus comes, and the 7,000 elect mingle right around him, surround him, because they did not go astray. But there's somebody else very close. Let's see who it is.
And them that had gotten the victory over the beast.
This will be the 144,000. When they hear the elect, the 7,000, delivered up to Antichrist, what the Holy Spirit says through us, they are going to realize they've been had. They will just at the last minute before Jesus comes, before they change into the spiritual body, if they do it while in the flesh, if you repent, you can be saved. And so they also then, like the second tier, here's the 7,000, one right there with Jesus. And then right close there will be the 144,000.
And over his image.
Okay, they got a victory over the beast. Remember, the beast is the dragon, who is the Antichrist, who is the serpent, who is the devil. In other words, the Antichrist. They got the victory over his image. We learned last week was the one world government being prepared right now, prepared for him. They did not depend on the government. Again, I'm telling you, any of you who are depending on the government, you are going to be an easy prey, because you can keep on depending on the government. When Antichrist comes, he'll give you anything you want, but you'll just have to call him Messiah.
Over his mark and over the number of his name.
Now, we know the number of his name, 666, six seals, six trumps, six vials. He was a six in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, when he was the covering cherub, but he wanted to be seven. Seven is Jesus, seven is perfect. And he was a six in the garden, but he wanted to be the first father, so he was still a six. And he's coming back pretending to be seven, but he's still six. He's never going to be the top banana.
Stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God.
All right. 144,000, that means all the 12, all the Christians. That does not mean every Christian. Many Christians are going to be deceived. Five are wise and five are foolish, half and half. But those who do come of the 12 tribes at the last minute and repent, then they may be right around us. Now, when you stand on something, that on which you are standing supports you, right? All of us, you're sitting in your chair supports you. We're standing on the floor supports us. This means they also get to come around Jesus, but they are supported by the 7,000 elect. The elect will be the ones who will pull them out of the fire. Boy, have you got a purpose.
Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God.
All right. By the way, they were playing the harps. What is the music about? It's party time. It's about to be a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So bring on the music. And what this elect group and the 144,000, they are going to sing the song of Moses. Now, for those of you in airspace, please get your Bibles ready. Deuteronomy 32. Don't turn there yet. We're not through with this part. But they're going to sing that, and we're going to teach you that today.
And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. For who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest.
Now he gave us a part of the song of the Lamb. You know the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Now, The people who are singing this, nobody can sing this song. So please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 32. We're still teaching Revelation, but he assigned us the song of Moses. Don't you want to be able to sing this song? If you don't can't sing this song, we're not talking about you having a good voice. You will not be an overcomer. Only the overcomers can sing this song. And that will include the 7,000 elect and the 144,000 that we bring out of the fire. Deuteronomy 32. Now, you might be asking me, how do you know that's the song of Moses? Because the Bible tells me so. To prove it, let's read Deuteronomy 31, 30.
Deuteronomy 31, verse 30. And Moses spoke into the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were finished.
All right, now he's about to speak this song. It was man who put the numbers, the chapters, and the verses in the Bible. So in the original Torah, he just begins the song. So now we know this is the song of Moses. Only the overcomers can sing this. Now I want you to remember something. Jesus said that when the elect are delivered up, we are to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. That's the only time you don't study, you don't premeditate. And he says that what we say will be heard by everybody in the whole world. And Jesus said, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. So we've been hearing fragments of it, but see, there's a whole story. You are now about to hear what the overcomers are going to teach everybody. And it is the pure gospel, every bit of it, right here in Deuteronomy 32. At last, all of it. Not a fragment, not a bit, not one verse and 3 points, not a book about the book, not a quarterly, not a tradition of man, not some kind of denominational thinking, the whole gospel.
The Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth.
Now, overcomers, this is the Overcomer Song. This is your 15 minutes of fame. All of heaven will be focused on this song. All of earth will be focused on this song. Remember, there's a multitude of people on earth who are lost, and they're watching all of this as Jesus comes back.
My doctrine shall cross the rain.
Doctrine means the teaching. The elect are teachers of truth.
My speech shall distill as the dew.
Pure, the pure truth. Elect says, everybody, heaven and earth, hear the pure truth at last. Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole wide world, and here it comes.
As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass.
The rain makes the little seedling grow. And when the elect speak with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the truth and pure word of God, it grows Christians from babies to mature Christian, from Babel to the Bible. You get out of your nest and you go when you tell. Hallelujah.
Verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord.
The elect will publish the name of the Lord. Publish in the manuscripts reads, make known. Well, what is the name of the Lord? Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. We say it at the end of this program every time. So the elect will teach you the Word of God. Again, it is not one verse and 3 points. There's nothing in the Bible for a man to preach a sermon. I'm sorry. He said, read this epistle in the church. It is not a book about the book. It is not a quarterly. It is not a devotional book. It is not a man's opinion. It is not a tradition of man which makes void the Word of God. Every Word of God, the truth.
Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, for he is the rock.
Okay, this is a capital R. The manuscripts say that Jesus is the immovable, monumental stone. So see, right here, the overcomers are saying that Jesus is the rock.
His work is perfect.
Perfect.
For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he.
Now, if you were very alert when we were reading in the Revelation 15, you realize you heard those same words. The Song of the Lamb in Revelation 15, when it said, saying, So it's right here in Deuteronomy 32. The Lamb is Jesus. So the overcomers are singing about Jesus. And of course, the Song of Moses is about Jesus. This is the true gospel. We're going to see where all of this began in a few minutes.
5. They have corrupted themselves.
Underline they.
Their spot is not the spot of his children.
Now, if you don't feel you can memorize this entire song, it's very long, get phrases and the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. For instance, their vines, not our vine, their spots, not our spot. The manuscripts here say they are not God's children. The spot is their blot. A spot signifies something clean, unclean, something dirty. You remember, in Revelation 13, that first beast is the political beast, the one world government being prepared for the Antichrist. And he had three heads of state, and one of them was a leopard, and a leopard has the spots. Well, that would be not God's children. Well, who would that be? Okay, they are called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. When Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, Satan beguiled Eve. Beguiled in the Greek, exopatio, holy, seduced. Now, we find that the anointing of Elijah, Malachi 4, the two witnesses and any man or woman who has the anointing of Elijah, we have that here, praise the Lord, will always tell you of two fathers. And so we're going to find out what that means in just a moment. There's God our Father, but the Kenites are the devil's children.
They are a perverse and crooked generation.
Forward, crooked.
6. Do you thus requite the Lord?
Okay, now let's go back to that father just a moment. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was giving the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. And he says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The word sowed there is, of course, sperma, as in children. Now, in John 8, Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. So you see, when Satan, who's low down like a snake, the snake is a symbol. Revelation 20, verse 2, and Revelation 12 told you the serpent is the devil. It's not a snake, it's a symbol. He's low down like that. Okay, and he seduced her, and Cain was the product. So the Kenites are the children of the devil. Now, just before we go on with this, so often I get, but Sherry, when we're born into this second earth age, wouldn't it be unfair for someone to be born into a genealogy that is the devil's genealogy? No, it all began in the first earth age, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. You are born into the exact place you were supposed to be born, but it was judged and decided there by God. He chooses which soul to put into each place. See, when Satan rebelled in the world that then was the first earth age, Revelation 12 said he deceived one-third of God's children, and the other third sat there like a knot on a lock, so their names were blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. We're in a spiritual body. We weren't supposed to die. And so God rejected him. They were no longer God's children, but they were Satan's children because they followed him. So it makes sense when they come in, they are still in the seed of Satan. Do you understand?
Foolish people and unwise.
The elect are saying, you Kenites, you're foolish people and unwise. You should have repented. A Kenite can repent, but it's harder because their DNA has their father's, blood in it.
Is not he thy father that hath bought thee?
The overcomers are being a little sarcastic here. We do have a sense of humor. After all, didn't your father create you, Kenites?
Hath he not made thee and established thee? Heaven, remember the days of old.
There it is. Remember the days of old. That goes back to the first earth age when Satan rebelled. And so many of God's children were in the spiritual body, followed Satan. So then that determines the situation you were born in. For that lukewarm group, you probably were born into a family that maybe you just kind of, you didn't, nobody was, you know, wanting about God. It's just about your truck and your dog and your job and everything. There was no, you just nothing to care there. But God makes sure that you getting that chance to hear the gospel. But the elect, that small group that fought for God, the very elect, did not even have to come out. Romans 8 says, whom he foreknew, he predestinated and justified, judged, and found not guilty. But to be chosen means we raised up our hand and said, I will go, Father. For he needed someone, generation after generation after generation, in the flesh, a remnant in every generation, to bring forth the oracles of truth. Just what you're hearing here, which you do not hear very often. Do you understand? And so the elect come through because we volunteered and were chosen. But everybody else, you get that chance. And you get the chance. You know the elect were chosen in the first earth age. But the 144,000, you can be chosen in this earth age.
These are the years of many generations.
There's the many generations. Now, the word generations is very interesting. The generation means brood and children. And we know that one of John the Baptist's first sermon was, repent, ye generation of vipers, back to the father thing. The generation there means brood. It's the same meaning in the Greek as it was in the Hebrew, because the Greek came from the Hebrew, and a viper is a serpent. So see, John the Baptist also verified that.
Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee.
Find someone who's mature in the Word, and if they really know the Word, they will tell you of the two fathers. They will tell you of the first earth age when Satan rebelled. They will tell you why you came through your mother's womb. You were in one of those three categories. That's why you're here. But everybody's getting a second chance, and the elect have come to be lights and to teach. The elect are accountable for our sins, so we repent often.
When the Most High divided unto the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam.
Now only an overcomer can understand what has just been said, the sons of Adam. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that you will open ears to hear with understanding. Sons of Adam. In Genesis chapter 1, God created male and female, created he them. The word there, Adam, in the manuscripts, does not mean a man named Adam. It reads humankind, mankind in general. America has mankind in general. Go to the mall. They are red, yellow, brown, black, white. Genesis 1, God looked and said, it's very good. God is an artist. All of us artists love color. Very good. Now that should end prejudice. The six-day creation, that's when the races were created. And God said it's very, very, very good. Do you understand? They were the hunters and the fishermen. But in chapter 2 of Genesis, God rested on the seventh day. And then, after he rested, what comes after seven? Eight, everybody, a resounding eight. Now, it doesn't say eight, but he says after he rested, so come on, eight means new beginnings. He saw he had hunters and he had fishermen, but he didn't have a farmer to till the soil, meaning God needed a special pedigree, someone from that first earth age who fought for him and did not betray him, through whom the Lord Jesus could come and pay the sin debt. Because you see, it was in the first earth age that Jesus said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. Foundation is capital, Satan's overthrow. And so God had to have a pure seed line. So God created a specific man. Here's the Hebrew, Eph Ha Adam. Eph is an article, means somebody special. The man, Adam. This is one time I want you to learn Hebrew. Let's say it. Eph. Ha, Adam, the man Adam. All right, he had a pure seed line. Messiah would come through him. But he needed a woman, of course. So God took a woman from the rib of the man Adam. But in the manuscripts, rib reads curved from his side. But how many sides does Adam have? Left side, right side, back side, front side. And so he took from Adam the curvy Eve. and the Messiah was to come through this lineage. Everybody understand? Are you holding your breath? Are you aghast? You should have heard this when you were 2 years old.
He set the bounds of the people.
All right. Now, as soon as the devil realized that God was going to make a salvation plan, see, the devil stole God's children. God wants them back. And he was going to send Messiah. The devil appeared right there in the garden and stood before Eve to thwart that pure seed line. Before Adam and Eve could even kiss or hold hands, here comes Mr. Six. Boy, is he cool. Is he smooth talking? He's slimy and slithery. Con artist like a snake. You don't even know he's there until he's had you. And so, of course, the product was Cain. But God had plan B, and that was Seth. So the pure seed line continued so that Jesus could come through. Then in Genesis 6, Satan again tried to pollute the seed line. And he sent the Nephilim, the sons of God, read Nephilim, fallen angels. They were not born again. Born again means born from above. They refused to be born of women. And they impregnated the beautiful daughters of Eth-Adam. And they brought these giants. And the seed line was polluted. God had plan B. He had Noah and eight with a pure pedigree. And so on and on and on it goes. And then there was Queen Athaliah. She was so wicked. She had all of the royal seed killed, so Messiah couldn't come through that lineage, except plan B, God. There was a little chambermaid who found a little baby of the royal seed, one left, named Joash. And Athaliah, wicked, evil queen, was not able to find Joash. Joash was hidden 6 years. And so the seed line continues. And then there was Tamar. She was married to Judah, one of the tribes. We love our brother Judah. And she was married to Judah's son. And the son died, and another son died. And there was no seed, no children. Tamar knew her destiny. Messiah was to come through her belly. And so she said, Judah, you're supposed to give me that last son. Judah did not do that. So Tamar used covert activity. You want to understand, you got to be wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. Covert activity is justified by a Christian. She played the harlot, seduced Judah, and brought forth a pure seed line, Phares, P-H-A-R-E-S, called the red-handed people, red blood of Jesus. And the seed line continued and continued. And the bounds were Athaliah, that he says here. And the bounds were Tamar. And so God always had some kind of a backup plan to bind Satan and put that boundary around him. And finally, the Virgin Mary brought forth the Messiah, Jesus.
According to the number of the children of Israel, 9. But the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
Now, you know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all Israel. There's only one brother named Judah. None of them are to be called Jew. I know it says it in your English Bible. It's a mistranslation. It should say Eudas. It's either talking about Judah or a resident, but people have lumped all 12 tribes and called them Judah and don't even pronounce it right and call it Jew. Now keep that in mind.
10. He found it in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness.
Who is this? Abraham. All the world had turned wicked, and God found one man whose heart was pliable, and that was Abram, later changed to Abraham. God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will give you so many children, even though you're old and your wife is old. I'm going to give you so many descendants. They're going to be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And Abraham, Messiah's coming through your lineage because you're a pure lineage. Hallelujah. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, and on and on and on and on. And here we are, and we're not together. We love our brother Judah. They split in the Bible. They had a spat. Two of them went back with Ezra and Nehemiah to build the wall. And in 1948, they went back again. That's our beloved brother Judah and Benjamin. But they also brought those imposters, the Kenites. But where are the other 10 tribes? Just as much the seed. Sennacherib, the Assyrian, captured them, the Bible says. History says they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in Lower Macedonia. Remember, Paul had to come to Macedonia? That's Lower Europe. Ireland, Scotland, and England. Had another spat, came over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, and these United States of America. Hallelujah, House of Israel. Separated two houses.
He led him about. He instructed him.
Everything God told Abraham to do, he obeyed, even to the point of about to kill his son Isaac. You know, God wanted someone to understand how hard it would be for him to give his only begotten son. And Abraham was his friend. You know, if you have a true friend, they know when you're hurting. They won't wait for you to say, please come and cry with me. You'll know it, and you'll go, and you'll cry with them.
He kept him as the apple of his eye.
The apple in the Hebrew means pupil. When you touch one of God's elect, and that's what he's talking about, this elect seed here, it is as though you stuck your finger in the pupil of God's eye. You know, when somebody sticks their finger in your eye, you're going to slap them, aren't you? God says, Psalm 105, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Jesus said it was better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck, you would drown in the depths of the sea, than to hurt one of my little ones. That's his elect. So he took care of Abraham.
11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest.
Now memorize this verse verbatim.
Fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. 12, so the Lord alone did lead him.
Now, God compares here in the Bible himself, our God, as a great eagle. The mother eagle, with some new little baby eaglets in the nest, loves them so much. But see, she's got more wisdom than human mothers do. She knows that she's got to teach that little one to fend for itself. So when it's time, she starts to push the little eaglet out of the nest, but she's watching. If he doesn't make it, she just swoops right down and catches him on her wings. He covers us with his feathers. Jesus says, as a hen doth gather his chicks under his wings, so would I have gathered you. God is our great eagle. There was no strange God in Abraham, he's about to say.
And there was no strange God with him.
Abraham stayed true to the one true God, the sacred name of God, the Lord, Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. Not Jehovah, not Yahweh, Yahweh. Let's say it, Yahweh. Yahweh.
13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth.
He made Abraham very rich.
That he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock.
All right, suck honey out of the rock. Jesus told us in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, and also earlier, he dictated to John, he said to eat the little book, eat the little book. And Ezekiel and John ate the little book, the rock, the word of God, and it was like honey in their mouth. So God taught Abraham about God. In other words, the word of God. He told him the salvation plan and everything. Well, what is this flinty rock? You can take a little olive tree, and it can grow out of a crevice of a rock and produce a beautiful olive from which comes the olive oil, the oil of our people. And so, you are a stone. You feel very flinty. You feel very fragile, Christian. You are a stone. You are a jewel. You are a little rock. And you want so much to have the oil. The oil represents the anointing of Holy Spirit. And so what you have to do, you have to be in that capital rock, inside of him. And when you're inside the rock, inside, not outside, inside, that anointing of Jesus just flows all over you, all over you. You know what the anointing means? A man or woman who has it, Jesus paints himself on you. That means you are covered with Jesus, and demons flee from you, because that's why we saw a woman run out of here the other night. They flee from you. They're afraid of you. Now, all of you want the anointing, but the reason you don't have it, you're not inside of Jesus. You know about him. You're on the outside. You haven't gotten in and died to yourself and let him cover you. The anointing will just completely envelop you, and there's nothing there for anyone to see but Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
14 butter of kind and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan.
Bashan, magnificent animals. Beefsteak, milk.
And goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat.
You know what that means? Wheat germ. Wheat germ. Now, remember I told you the 12 tribes are split. The Bible tells you that. They're not together. Everywhere through the Bible, they're not together. But see, people have misunderstood, and you've lumped all 12 into one tribe and mispronounced their name and called them Jude. See, Judah. We love our brother Judah. But they are split. And so the larger bulk of the 10 tribes comprise the United States of America, which is why we are blessed with milk and honey, beefsteak and bees. Okay, you understand? And so, therefore, we are so blessed. Do you know the United States of America produces more wheat than any other nation in the world? Remember, God promised Abraham, your seed, you know, always we have that Abrahamic blessing. And wherever we go, that blessing follows us. And your seed shall be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Preachers call the 10 tribes lost. You're only lost because you didn't know the Bible. We're not lost at all. Some of us know who we are. Hallelujah.
And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape.
All right. See, the elect overcomers have been preaching the pure gospel. See, the gospel began before Jesus came and died on the cross, because sin began in the first earth age. So did you notice the Moses, Song of Moses, the overcomers? We went back into that. He went back into that. I didn't. He said of old, the fathers. All right. That was the gospel. You'll never get the whole picture unless he was there. That's why you're here. And now finally the Messiah came through. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and paid our sin debt. He shed his blood for the remission of sins. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Jesus died, and Jesus arose, and so we have the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. And so we drink the communion. We drink his blood, and we eat his body. Everybody is born with an awareness that the life is in the blood. Satan's children know this too. That's why they are cutting people's heads off, and some of them are drinking the blood of their father. Do you understand? That's polluted, but we drink the pure blood. It's the pure blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful word. What a magnificent writer you are. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Oh, Father God, let this word be not in vain. Let it reach out and touch hearts, dear God, and change lives and save and heal and deliver. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you. Amen. 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 Now, speaking of the blood, if you have never accepted Jesus, if your sins are still stacked up by your name, this is a good time to repent and be saved. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Omission.
Omission.
Commission. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me
to enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I thank you.
I
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you might like to call and tell me. My announcer's about to give you my telephone number. Now, for those of you who are sick, let me pray for you. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and the Bible says, with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. And wherever there is any kind of discomfort, let there be ease, peace, 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 be still. Where there's pain, let the pain stop in Jesus' name. Where something's missing, let a new part be created. Where there's disease, let there be ease. Stop the pain, stop the disease, heal in Jesus' mighty name. Comfort in Jesus' mighty name. Touch heads, God, and let the heads feel free. Let the congestion and the pressure go out of the heads. Bring back people's minds and memories, and let dead people come alive. Oh, my Father God, let the cripple get up and walk. Let the weak say, I am strong. Strengthen your people. Heal your people. Revive your people. I thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. 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 Now, you might also like to call me and tell me you were healed. You might like to call me and tell me you love me. Someone did yesterday that said, I want to call and tell you I love you, and I want to encourage you, and thank you, whoever you are. You left no name, and this person said, you are awesome, and she knew that I wouldn't want her to say that. She said, well, I mean, God is awesome, but he's awesome in you. So thank you, whoever you are, and I appreciate that encouragement. I want to invite all of you to come to my school, Sundays, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. And remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I love you with all my heart. God richly bless and keep you. And if God is willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord in all the earth. Every creature near and far, praise the Lord. Stormy winds and clouds of white, valleys clothed in splendor. Burning sun and moonlit night, praise the Lord. Heaven and all the universe proclaim. the healing in his scars, for the grace in his commands. Praise the Lord. Heaven and all the universe, proclaim your power and your worth. Hallelujah, your love goes on forever. God of life, the Lord of love, who was and is to come. Hallelujah, your love goes on forever. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above you, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All the earth sing aloud.
listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
There is no one like you. Still I cry out, Father. I cry out, Father. You don't have to, but I hear you call me your son. I hear you call me son. Well, cannot turn me away. No matter what comes our way, you cannot turn me away. No, I'm here to stay here. You cannot turn me away. No matter what comes our way, cannot turn me away. There is no one like you. Still I cry out, Father. Son, I hear you call me son. Well, then you cannot turn me away. No matter what comes our way, you cannot turn.
Shall see God. nothing but you, Jesus. What better could I hope to find down here on earth? Yeah. Like you cross the most distant reaches. There's a world, but I just be wasting my time. Cause I'm certain already, I'm sure I'll find you my one thing. You're my one thing.
And the pure in heart shall see God.
Heart shall see